Good morning.
Good morning.
Who had to scrape ice off their windshield this morning? See, that's why we live in Florida. Even on our cold days, we're still not scraping ice, are we? Well, I'm glad you're here today. Welcome. I'm Pastor David Branson. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, we're glad you're with us. If you're back from up north, welcome back. We're glad to have you all back. So, yes. We are glad, Maria, that they are back. So, welcome back. It's good to see Donna with us again today. Hi, Donna. She's without crutches today, so we're celebrating her miraculous 2-year healing, is it now? So, we're not. One. But yeah, but she had some issues with knees before, right?
So, well, it started New Year's Eve last year.
Yeah, wow. So we're proclaiming a healing ministry here in, at Lakeside, too. So another example of God's work among us. So just a few quick announcements this morning, and we'll get started. The connect cards, of course, are in your bulletins. Drop those in the offering plate as it comes around this morning. That would be great. I have a table set up back there underneath our banner with a cross on it for Compassion International. It's their pledge. Sunday today as well. There's catalogs back there. This year they're not asking you specifically for sponsorship of a child, but there's a catalog. I have quite a few back there. If you'd like to be a part of helping that ministry, and there's a lot of good information on what Compassion is all about. So pick one of those up today if you'd like to give towards Compassion. I have a couple letters back there. Nancy and I have sponsored Kaylin, a little girl from Columbia. She's not a little girl anymore. She's graduated this year from high school and the program as well. So we've had probably about a 12 or 13 year relationship with Caleb as well. And I know the Sunday school, the Seekers, David, you have a boy that you all sponsored through the...
Omar,
right. And where's he from?
Columbia.
Is he from Columbia as well? Okay, well, we're taking care of the Columbian kids here, so... But if you wouldn't be interested in sponsoring a child, it's a great thing. They write you letters. But take a look at the letters, the two recent letters that we've gotten from our child from Columbia is back there on the table as well. So if you're interested in helping out with that, grab a catalog. You can take it home and look through it and find out more about what Compassion is all about. They're a great organization as well. Our staff love offering. We're still doing that. The little house is back there in the narthex. You'd like to give towards a gift for the staff, we'll be doing that next week as well. So please feel free to drop that envelope in the little house back there. Teenagers is starting up this Wednesday, right, at 11:30. Bring some food to share. I'm sure they've got a program put together for teenagers on Wednesday. We're continuing with our Advent study Wednesday evening as well. And Matthew Meals is next Saturday. The only reason I'm announcing that is we move things up a week for Christmas. So if you're a part of that, just be aware of the change of dates for that as well. A lot of things going on in the life of your church, so find a place where you can plug in and be involved, and we'd love to see you come out and be a part of this congregation's work in the community. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you.
Do we yearn for the day when faithful love and truth shall meet, when righteousness and peace shall kiss? Will we prepare our hearts to receive the coming miracle? Is it time to get ready? Will you pray with me? Shepherd and God, as lambs of your flock, we long to lie down in green pastures. Lift us into your lap and comfort our troubled minds. Give us your rest and strengthen our weary bodies. Guide us through this season of anticipation and hope, that we might lift our voices in laughter and song. Make our paths straight, that we may move bodily, boldly forward as we prepare for your arrival. Amen.
You may be seated.
I'd like to invite Robin Riles, Luann Paul forward for reading the read and reading this morning.
Send a text, or just write a note to someone.
As you are part of a faith community, consider asking Pastor David if he knows someone who could benefit from a visit. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, speak to us again your comforting words. O God, that we may know once more your deep peace. Use us as instruments of your peace so that we may comfort others in the name of your Son, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, we've been talking about sheep and goats and all of that. I want to find out how much you know about a sheep. You know much about them? Are they smart? Yeah, not always. What's their fluffy wool called that they have on them? Wool? Okay. What do sheep live in? What's their family unit called? That's someone else's answer. She's been studying for the sheep test. What do you call a baby sheep? You don't hear it? That's a baby lamb. A baby lamb. What's a baby sheep called? If I say you, do you think I'm calling you a baby sheep? You know what a you is? E-W-E. That's a baby sheep. Is it you? What is it? No? My research says... I'm sorry, lamb. There's a lot of time back there to practice me. Which one of those school teachers? My wife? Well, get down here and help me with this. What does she eat? Wendy's? You think they like Wendy's chicken sandwiches? I like their spicy spicy.
No.
They
eat grass.
Okay, I stand corrected on 2 points here. So yes, the sheep eat grass, right?
Yeah.
Who takes care of sheep?
Farmers.
Farmers? That's what we call shepherds. Boy, I tell you, this is a smart group up here. Well, the reason why we keep talking about sheep is, why? Just because Pastor David likes to talk about farm animals?
Because we're God's
kingdom. Why are we referred to as sheep in God's kingdom? Because sheep have a tendency just to wander over here. And if there's a cliff, the sheep will just walk over and fall off the cliff, right? If there's a lake, the sheep can just walk over there and fall in the lake, right? Are we that bad? Yeah, I think so. Are we that bad? Yeah, we're pretty much like sheep, aren't we? Goats will be on the which, right or left? See, I'm afraid to say anything now, but I'm really pregnant. Did you get the memo even when the pastor's wrong? You agree with him, right? No, nobody wants that. Okay, so we're like sheep, and Jesus is our shepherd. Why? Are you glad that we have a shepherd that loves us? Have you seen the picture that I brought to church a couple weeks ago? Who is he holding in his arms? A you, right? He's holding you. See why I had to use that word? And you all wouldn't let me, so you're ruining the whole children's message. Jesus is holding a baby lamb, right? And that baby lamb could be us. It could be Y-O-U and not E-W-E. School teachers, help me with my spelling. E-W-E is you, Y-O-U. So God is holding us in his arms. That was a nice picture, wasn't it? Even that little black sheep that was behind Jesus, remember me showing you that in the picture? Who's been a black sheep before and didn't quite follow God's plan and didn't always do what was right? Yeah, get your hands up. Yes, we all needed to be held in God's arms. So we are the you in that picture, Y-O-U. That makes me feel good about you. I'm clever, huh? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these beautiful, sweet young people. Father, their smiles are contagious, and we just love that they're here with us today. And like them, Father, we are all just baby lambs in your arms. So, Father, we ask your blessing this morning on each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good deal. You got to go to Sunday school? Cool. Who's back there? Miss Jane? All right. See you after Sunday school. One of the most important reasons we gather on Sunday mornings in church is to be encouraged by the love of Christ and to know that Jesus is coming again. Amen.
Amen.
And that we get to lift one another and our loved ones up in prayer this morning. And that's not so unusual for us. We do have a long list of folks that we're lifting up this morning. So as I read these names off to you, those that have gone unspoken this morning, just whisper them in your heart to God, and we'll take them to the cross as well. We continue to pray for Al Jordan. Al, we continue to pray for you and your continuing treatment as well. Don Harris, we continue to pray for you. What an awesome, miraculous thing it is to see you here today. That is awesome as well. Olivia Wilson, a four-year-old that we've been praying for. I've had you lift her up. Tomorrow is her surgery, for cranial surgery in Dallas, so family's going to be gathered around. I'm sure they already probably are at the hospital preparing now. So just keep little Olivia in your prayers as well. Sally Chanel is experiencing some severe back pain and is undergoing some doctors, some diagnosis and treatment as well. Ann McCartney as well is having severe back problems, and we just lift her up. Of course, Anna and Robin, we continue to pray for them. Ruthie Rawson as well, continuing to heal from her surgery. Carr here as well. Ruthie found out this week that her sister Noreen has passed away of breast cancer. So we're lifting up her brother-in-law Stephen and two nephews George and Davis as well. But just keep that entire family in prayers, and Ruthie and her brother as well. So just continue to pray for them. Chris O'Hara is lifting up her sister this morning. Her name here. Her sister Laura, she's in ICU after surgery this morning with some pretty serious complications with her health. Just keep Laura in your prayers as well. Marianne Davis. A knee problem, so Marianne, we will lift you up for that as well. Donna has a praise this morning for God's healing powers, and she just thanks God for putting people in her path. Got some good friends travel this journey with you and for the church family. God is great. We celebrate that. Darlene Church is lifting up her son-in-law, Cameron Bunting. He's having heart surgery on Monday or Tuesday at JFK. Chuck Blankenship as well has back and leg pain. He's seeing doctors and having x-rays. And just pray for a good outcome for your pain as well. Hilton and Violet Jarvis are going to be traveling up to Georgia, right?
Yes.
To Georgia for Christmas. So safe travel mercies for you all as well. And for everyone that may be traveling during this Christmas season. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful that we have a God that continues to show us miraculous signs of healing and encouragement. Father, we celebrate your work among us. We know that you are a healing God. And when we totally give ourselves to you and the ones we love, Father, we wait expectantly for your healing touch upon them. So, Father, today we lift up those named here and those we carry in our hearts. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would comfort us And as in the children's message, Lord, we are sheep that wander. And this morning I pray that each one of us and those we love will make a commitment to seek you out in a stronger way during this Advent season, leading up to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, today we pray for our world. We pray for Jerusalem. Father, as more turmoil has been kicked off this week, Father, we know that, as our scripture this morning told us, that all nations will gather in Jerusalem, that all people will come together in peace there upon the arrival of our Messiah coming back to us. So, Father, today we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, you know the problems of this world. You know the problems of loneliness, depression, hunger, homelessness, those without a clean cup of water. Father, the world can seem overwhelming to us at times. But Father, as faithful Christ followers, we know that we are in the best hands of all, in the arms of our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray this morning that you would continue to keep us safe. Father, keep us secure in our love for you and your love for us. Father, be with us now as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Thank you.
taught us, so I hope you can bring your neighbors, your friends, and family for a beautiful program next Sunday as well, or 10 o'clock service. The message today is coming from the scripture that Lou Ann beautifully read this morning from Isaiah 41 through 11. Isaiah has a lot to say to us, and this is some of the most uplifting scripture in the Bible. So as we go into this a little deeper this morning, we're awaiting our Messiah's second coming. That's what Isaiah is speaking of in this scripture. Let's open with a word of prayer first. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for the word this morning. The word from the prophet Isaiah. Father, they too are awaiting their Messiah in these pages. Father, we too are anticipating your arrival. Let us be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, believe it or not, it's already New Year from the church calendar. The church calendar begins with Advent as we make our way up to Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ. We remember and celebrate. What Isaiah is talking about in the scripture this morning had taken place before Jesus' arrival. Isaiah was telling his people, it's a time of excitement. It's a time of wonder. Do you love Christmas? Do you watch Hallmark Channel? Now this is ironic. Look back there at my wife. She's illuminated. How did those electricians know that light would shine on my wife? And my story of her Hallmark Channel addiction. Nancy is all about Hallmark. She's going to be starting who, Marianne? Marianne as well. Who else likes Hallmark? Who has every Hallmark ornament since 1973? Joyce, you do? Okay. You've got a combination. Who loves to see the excitement on children's faces? Those of you that have kids at home, it's just amazing. See your Christmas tree on Facebook. We live vicariously through you. Households with children at Christmas time are something special, aren't they?
Yes.
It's like going to Disney World with children. Their eyes are sparkling and shiny. And the Christmas tree is just so huge and beautiful. As I've been nostalgic this week, in my childhood, I tried this week to think of the most precious time in my childhood. And you know what I came up with? My mom's probably wondering why I was interested in this week. But my grandparents had a farm in the late 60s, early 70s. My grandfather died coming up from the field down below where he'd gone down to till up for the potatoes. And my cousin and I were spending the summer on the farm. And my grandfather had gone down earlier in the morning. Of course, we didn't wake up in time to go down with him at sunrise, I guess. But as we started down that morning, here he comes up the road. And we could see something was wrong. And he said, I don't feel well. And he goes up to the house. Well, my cousin and I, we just ran on about our business. This was 1970. I was 9 years old. My grandfather died that day. And that short summer, I've been going back in my memory banks trying to think, good grief, we must have spent every summer there for 20 years. It seems so imprinted on my memory. And come to find out, that one summer really might have been the only time we spent an extended period of time there. Now, why does your mind do that to us? When Jesus Christ came some 2,000 years ago, they made a big deal of it among a small group of people, didn't they? The shepherds, the wise men, Mary and Joseph. But in their mind, it seemed tremendous. It seemed huge. It seemed all-encompassing. As I thought back on my own life, I called my Aunt Barbara or texted her and said, "Do you remember where that farm was?" I joked with Carolyn in the office this week because I was doing it on church time, I'm sorry. But I was trying to Google Earth to find that farm. I told Carolyn, "I want to go back and buy that farm. I don't know if it's even there. I couldn't find it." So I have a search out now for directions as to how to find it. I at least want to look at it on Google Earth. It's amazing. But the point I brought that up is I felt like a child at Christmas there. My grandparents were there. And even if it was just for a few short weeks that summer, it seems like that had an impact on my entire life of what was a pleasant childhood memory. Sometimes Christmas season can be tough for people. We remember those that we've lost. We remember those that we're not close to anymore and wish we were. But I hope in our memory banks it's a time of anticipation, a time of wonder. We started a new year in the lectionary calendar. The readings through Advent, the Old and New Testament, the Old Testament of which Isaiah is a part of, this Hebrew scripture, was telling of a Messiah yet to come. As I studied this week and read, I came to the conclusion that the Jewish people and those of us today, Christ followers, were a messianic people. Our perspectives are just different. The Jewish people are still waiting. We as Christians are awaiting the second return of our Messiah. Jesus came to set us free on a cross. If we hold that in common, we're messianic. We're waiting for our Messiah to come back. This scripture reading today is one of the most uplifting scriptures in the whole Bible. It's hope-filled. One thing I want you to take away from this Advent season and Christmas season is hope. How many of you watch the news and think, this is hopeless? There's no one smart enough to get us out of these messes around the whole world. Something tragic is happening at every moment. And we're not far from that flock of sheep who have wandered from the shepherd. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the shepherd to come back and gather us back up, aren't you? So I said last week, we're not necessarily waiting for a baby to be born. We're waiting for a returning Messiah. That's what Advent is for us. And this scripture from Isaiah this morning, if you read through some of the early passages in Isaiah, they follow closely with Micah. The contemporaries of Isaiah with Amos, Hosea, and Micah. And read some of that scripture, you would think you're reading today's newspapers. Some of the same people are still fighting over the same thing. The northern kingdom had been taken over. The southern kingdom felt very vulnerable. Those old nasty Assyrians. Assyrians. The Assyrians still causing trouble. Whoops. Well, the situation they found themselves in The land of Judah thought they were weak and vulnerable to the Assyrians. They wanted to form an alliance with Egypt. Ever hear anything like that before? They were looking for allegiances to form there today. But Isaiah said, stop. Don't do it. Isaiah said, rest in the arms of your Lord. Rest in the arms of God. Don't do it. Isaiah was giving them hope that military and political power is not what it took to survive. We don't necessarily live by that today, do we? Our world leaders today, the ones with the most powerful military seem to make the calls. Call the shots. The little countries just stand by the sideline and wait to be told what to do a lot of times. Or how will we help you if you help us? Isaiah gives us some clues what this hope looks like depending on God. The first thing he talks about is Jerusalem. Has Jerusalem been in the news today? Isaiah calls Jerusalem the mountain of the Lord's house, the house of the God of Jacob and Zion. And all of these refer to Jerusalem. But he's telling them that in the days of the Messiah, the spiritual and political center of the world. I thought I heard that somewhere on the news this week. Isaiah uses the word highest. He's emphasizing the supremacy of Jerusalem. With the mess we see over there today, does anyone see Jerusalem as the center of power, the center of the world, where all the shots are being called? And then Isaiah goes on to say, why do we gather in Jerusalem? Why does the world come to Jerusalem? I love this because I wonder how receptive we're going to be when that time comes. Isaiah says they will come there so that the Messiah may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. What's it going to take for us to recognize that we need God to lead us? When the Messiah comes, home is going to be Jerusalem. Messiah is coming back to teach us. I hope we're receptive to his teachings, aren't you? I hope we're receptive to the word. The Messiah is coming back. For the Jewish people, the Messiah is coming. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Folks, our hope is filled. The future is filled with Christ and what he's going to teach us. How many like to take a test and have never seen the material before they take the test? Teachers in the room. Did you love when your students showed up? They said, well, I haven't looked that material over yet. Anyone ever hear anything like that? Teachers? I think when Jesus comes back, we need to know a few things. Do you? We need to know that when it's time to go to Jerusalem, we don't say, why? I don't want to go over there. Yeah, I'll just wait here. What I'm saying today is we have hope. And in that hope comes some requirements. We have to be ready. This Advent season is about preparing. It's about coming home to see the Lord. It's about our Jerusalem. As we go through the next few weeks, I think our scripture today is being lived out in our lives. We're a living parable. A lot of the things Isaiah spoke about and all his hope for the future are the same hopes we have today. Amen. Some things never change. We're waiting for the Messiah. We've given a gift, a glimpse of God's master plan. How many of you like to have all the answers before the test hits your desk? I'm still in school, I like those answers, right? I like to know a little bit about what's going on before it happens. And when we do, we're more hopeful, I hope. As Isaiah is speaking to us today, Samuel did it as well. I've read 1 Samuel, and you think you were reading the newspapers today. Isaiah is giving us that glimpse into God's kingdom as well. So folks, the candle of peace was lit today. For the next two Sundays, and then Christmas Sunday, Christmas Eve Sunday, we're going to be ready. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be ready. When he comes, we'll say hallelujah. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we're grateful today for these words of Isaiah. You would think he was standing in the plains of the Middle East today, looking out over the landscape of people in need. Father, today we are needy. We're in need of hope and encouragement for a world that seems to have gone mad. Father, we have hope. And we have a future with you. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
For closing hymn today, O Zion, haste. Please stand with me.
Thank you.
Let's be prepared. Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ will come again. Go from this place, receive the blessing of Jesus Christ upon your life. Let us now live in peace and share our hope with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.